Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are last watching, well, watching, listening, one of those. The last show of the year for Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me tonight is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Delogi. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. So it's going to be kind of a chill show tonight. Mostly because a lot of us are still kind of recovering from Christmas.
Yeah.
Obviously the New Year's is just right around the corner, and honestly, our livers need time to recover. So. Yeah.
And they won't get it this week, trust me.
Yeah. True.
But, so, pretty much, it's not going to be as long a show as it usually is. We got a handful of big stories here, most of them political. We've also got all that shit about squatting? Well, swatting, actually. Swatting with Call of Duty players? Yeah, it finally came to its logical conclusion tonight, and you'll be hearing about that, too. Also, we have got some shit about, well, basically some of the stuff we've been up to this week, of course. And we got Philly, San Francisco, New York. They're going to be suing the U.S. Department of Defense. You're going to find out why. Oh, yeah, and Steve Mnuchin, our current Treasury Secretary, yeah, he got a nice little Christmas present at his house in Bel Air. You're going to love this. All that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend, this year-end episode. And, yes, of course, we will be talking a bit about our closing thoughts on 2017. Here's a spoiler. It sucked. But we'll be getting to that later. So, with all of that, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So that's been my usual mix of TV, movies, and audiobooks lately. I've been catching up on the Grand Tour. Episode 4 just aired this week, so I watched that. It's good. It's still good. I like that Richard Hammond is back in action, sort of.
Alive and well.
Alive and well. He managed to get the Continuity Mismatch Award of the Year in his segment with the McLaren 720, where he, in one scene, is driving one color of 720, and in the next scene, it's a completely different car. so, yeah, I don't know why these things happen, but that's okay. It's fun. Yeah, it's a good show. I like that they've gotten their stride back. It seems, it took a little while after they fired the American. Well, that's improved the show immensely, so that's been good. Yeah, good stuff. Oh, yeah, and they also did a response to people claiming that their bits are too scripted or too set up, where they did one that was completely not, and now which should pretty much tell you why they do that.
Ugh.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Apart from that, I listened to The Disappearance of Winter's Daughter by Michael J. Sullivan. That's the fourth book of the Rhaera Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of the prequel novels, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read the Revelations trilogy, you know that Royce and Adrian have a couple of friends in the nobility. In the form of Leo and Jenny, the Duke and Duchess of Rochelle. This is how that happened. So, yeah, it's a pretty fun story. It involves some very, very strange events. So, yeah, worth reading. Rhaera Chronicles is just thoroughly enjoyable. It's pretty easy reading, actually. It's very good, very fun. You'll like it. Try it. And other than that, stuff and things.
Yes.
We'll be talking more of in the next few weeks, but suffice to say, Pat and I have a little side project going, and
enjoy the silence on it while you can, because once we do get started on it, we're not going to shut up for a while.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. So, Pat?
Stuff indeed. Yeah. Just, this is an idea that we had kind of kicked around a long time ago, and without going into much detail on it, a few things have happened in the gaming news that have kind of made this the perfect time to finally put them in motion. And my last few days have kind of been dedicated to putting my thoughts into words and a little bit of preparation work, if you will. It's going to be a little while yet before we're ready to really go all out with the info blitz, but look forward to it because, especially if you like fighting games, big things are happening. And I think if you love fighting games, you're going to be really excited by what we've got in the works. So,
yeah.
That's been about it for me.
All right.
Okay. Well, Teresa, what about you?
I've been legitimately freezing. we woke up Chris this morning and the wind chill was negative 19. It was like 3 below and our heater wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I totally feel you.
you don't get a heater working on Christmas Day, although God knows we tried. I thought, well, you know, it's just the air filter. We just need to change the filter on the furnace. We didn't have any more filters left in the closet. So we tried unloading a bunch of compressed air on it outside on the balcony, freezing our asses off. We tried vacuuming it because nothing's open. You can't get another air filter. It didn't work. So we ended up calling the landlord, and the next day was also bitter cold. They couldn't get anybody out there. They were supposed to be there. Then they said, well, we'll come back the next morning. Next morning comes, nobody's fucking here. We're freezing. And by freezing, I must admit that our condo never gets below 63 because we're one of 170 units. Other people do keep us warm, but we were pretty miserable at 63 degrees. Just saying. But they did finally get it fixed, and it was just the stupid thermostat. Oops.
See, I would imagine in that event, the best thing you could do is just grab a blanket and an RPG.
Yeah, we did that a lot. My fingers got pretty cold, though, so I had a little bit of an issue with that. But we were playing. We were cooking as much as we could. We pulled out the little itty-bitty heater that we put in our tent when we go camping, as my brother calls it, pretending to be homeless. He's not a fan of camping. So.
No, I feel that.
Yeah. We were cold. And when we weren't cold, I kept driving one way, but my car kept going the other way. So, you know, snow.
Yeah, you got to steer into it.
Yeah. I decided in the middle of another snowfall that I would take a couple of kids to a trampoline place. That was a great idea, man. Great idea. You know, winter breaks only so long. So we've had a good bit of snow, and I am sick to fucking death of it today. I don't know why this was a problem. I'm a seasoned northerner, but I went out in the wrong shoes, and I kept flying all over the place. Yeah. And the shoes were completely wet on the inside because they weren't boots. What the hell? So now we're in, and the car is parked, and nothing else is happening. No more fucking ice dams off the back of my trunk where my spoiler, it builds up a bunch of ice. And it decided to fall off and fall right into my trunk, which, not a big deal for most people. I have a hybrid. I can't get my trunk wet. So I'm in the parking lot of the grocery store throwing chunks of ice out of my goddamn trunk. But yeah, other than that, I've been having a decent week. Been watching The Crown, which is, you know, that's hard to marathon because those are long episodes.
Yeah.
But I think we're at least halfway through season 2 now. And I finished up Mob Psycho 100. That was good. I want more, but there isn't any more. So bummer. You guys know that feeling when you don't know what the fuck to do with your life after it's after something's over.
Are you talking the anime or the live action?
The anime.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was good, though. It was a good story.
Well, I believe it.
Yeah. Been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild. Mario Odyssey, I'm pretty close to endgame on that one. I think I've got like one more world and then it's off to the big showdown. But there's a lot of replay value in it and maybe there's more to do afterwards, I'm assuming. And I debated doing this. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to go down the rabbit hole and I'm going to see how quickly I get scared and run out. I'm playing Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yes.
So I already think that I'm at the second club meeting with the second, or I guess it's third club meeting with the second poem. And things haven't gotten weird just yet, but I think that somebody is probably murdering animals. I don't know yet. Don't tell me.
I won't.
I'll figure it out.
I will give you one piece of advice. While you're playing that, make sure that the game files are also open in a separate window.
Okay.
Because you'll see.
Okay. Well, I can do that. So that's a full week, but that's about it for me.
All right. Well, what about you, Chris?
So I have also been freezing to death. Woke up on Wednesday when the wind chill was at -9, and my car wouldn't start. So that was great. I had to make some quick calls to my parents to arrange a car swap. My dad was luckily not going to work until the afternoon, so he was able to revive the car and all that. Yeah, that was not fun. Like, getting ready for work, knowing it's going to be freezing cold, having some extra stuff so I could deal with it. And then having to scramble to get into another car.
Oh, man.
Luckily, I made it to work barely on time, so that was fine. But, yeah, having to be out in that for a few hours was not great.
No.
Not an optimal situation.
No. Especially when you have glasses, and you're trying to figure out how to breathe so you don't fog up your glasses.
God, it's impossible.
Yeah, I had to basically force myself to become a mouth breather for the day.
Yeah, and then it messes up your lips and everything.
My lips were fine because I had a face mask.
Oh, okay.
So it was just the weirdness of not breathing out of my nose. Which also part of that is because you get humidity into your nose and it freezes your boogers and your hair and all that together and then you can't breathe at all out your nose.
It freezes everything. You gotta love those little icicles literally coming out of your nose.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't too bad. Yeah, that was not fun. Yesterday was nice because it went from, I think, about -1 when I got into work to about 15. So it was like, oh, heat streak.
Hell yeah! It did that here too. I threw my jacket in the back and I just started wearing a hoodie. It's fucking 15. It was a heat wave, right?
Yeah. Though today was snow day. So that was not fun. Like being reminded, oh, it's freezing cold. Because the snow is literally just raining down on you. And at times it seemed like it was going to be a blizzard and other times it stopped. But we're lucky that we weren't like Erie, Pennsylvania, which got 60 inches of snow Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I think it was. And that led to about, for the whole month, they had 100 inches of snow.
Wow.
60% of that came in 2 days.
Dang, man. I'm guessing they were having a bad time.
Yeah, I saw pictures of some of the streets that were somewhat cleared. It's like there's more people walking than cars because nobody's driving out in that weather.
No.
Probably because most of the cars are buried in the snow. But yeah, there's a lot of pictures of people like opening up their garage doors or windows and like seeing the huge pile of snow. Just fun to know that that's not here, so we're okay. But yeah, that's hopefully that's gonna go away for a little while.
No,
at some point, I think we're.
No, it's not. You're probably gonna get
about 10 more days. It'll be into the 30s.
Oh, so
that'll be our heat wave.
You're
warm lucky. Enough to snow.
Yeah.
It was warm enough to snow today. But yeah. I've also been doing this thing on True Trophies and True Achievements. That is their Christmas challenge. They're calling like 12 Days of Christmas. It's a variety of sort of challenges. Increasing each day from, you know, one thing on day one, two things on day two. You don't have to do them one each day. It's just an order of things that have to be done. Which the first one was, like, complete a game's trophy list or achievement list, which is a lot if you're not anywhere close to doing that in any game. Xbox One, I just finished Super Lucky's Tale, so that was mine. PS4, or no, I was on PS3. I basically completed, I forget what it was called. It was one of the like demo scene games that came out a long time ago. But yeah, it's all escalating where I am on, I think, day 11, which is all 11 main storyline trophies, which is basically means I'm going to be playing The Walking Dead and getting all those. The only problem is I am trying, so I want to play the new season of The Walking Dead. A New Frontier. The only problem is I started that stuff on the PS3. So I have to go from PS3, I had to basically start over on PS4. So I played the first episode yesterday, and that was a huge bummer. That first episode is particularly brutal because you see Clementine find her whole house, listen to the voicemails on her answering machine of her parents calling as the zombie outbreak is happening where they're at, sort of leaving their goodbye messages, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, oh, God, I'm just trying to play through this thing. But yeah, it's this series of challenges is nice. It's just annoying on some things because there's one day it's all about getting trophies in action-adventure games. They have all the Uncharted games, the remasters of 1, 2, and 3, and 4. But Lost Legacy isn't labeled as an action-adventure game for whatever reason. And it's not something I can flag for them to fix. It's like, well, I guess I'm not playing that game. And it's just weird stuff like that. But otherwise, yeah, I shouldn't have too much more. The final day is unlocking 12 trophies or achievements, each with a higher ratio in a different game than the last, which is a real challenge. So their ratios are basically just based on how many people play the game and earn that trophy. So the common stuff is down around 1, and the rare stuff is obviously much higher. So it's like trying to figure out ways to zigzag between these games and find the right ratios, which I got 2 days to do that. That's going to be a real challenge. But yeah, it's fun to do this. I've been playing some variety of different games, one being Volume on the PS4, which is a lot of fun. That is Mike Bithell's game, who made Thomas Was Alone. This time he made a game that's basically Metal Gear Solid's VR challenge missions, and just built a game all around that idea. And I'm about halfway through the campaign. And yeah, that's a lot of fun, especially when you get some of the new abilities or tools that you get. There's one that's kind of like a tripwire kind of thing that you can set up and then get the ire of one of the guard robots and have them run into it, and it stuns them. So it's sort of a way of getting around those guys without having to trick them into going other places. Because once you sort of trigger their ire, it goes bad pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they have like a countdown, like a little meter that you see, like, oh, here's long until they're just going to shoot you and kill you. And it's usually a couple of seconds. So you have to sort of break line of sight real quickly and figure out ways to get around that. But they have some cool tools to get around that stuff. Usually it's like distraction stuff, like create a noise somewhere nearby. And they go over and look at that, and you can just sneak by. But then they introduce some new enemies, things like dogs, which don't attack you, but they'll go and alert every other enemy around and sort of say, hey, something's over here. Come get them. Also, these couple of new types of guards. One just has like a much bigger like vision cone, but it goes all around them 360 degrees. So it provides a big challenge of triggering, of trying to figure out how to get around them without getting in the way of that. So it's a lot of just managing your cover. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And looking forward to playing some more of that. And I've also just been downloading more PS4 stuff onto my hard drive, downloading all the games.
Nice.
I have finished adding all of the stuff that was on my accounts download list to the queue. I think I'm north of 500 games downloaded right now.
Oh my god.
PS Plus and free-to-play stuff helps a lot of that. I'm not really being too judgmental on what to download and what not to download. There's been a couple things and things I've gotten all the trophies and whatnot on it. I've not downloaded again, but otherwise, it's getting downloaded. My queue right now is at 113 games, which I did not know could go that high, but hey. And a bunch of the stuff is just DLC that's waiting for me to get the game downloaded to install it. But, Doom's downloaded, so that's one of the big ones.
No, God.
That was 76 gigs. Elder Scrolls Online is the other one, which generously has a the early starting thing set at 74.8 gigs of the 76.2 gig download.
Oh my
like,
God.
Oh, you're saving me a lot of time here.
Like, you just might as well freaking get the rest of it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank you.
That's like one of those Walmart rollbacks where they roll it back from 1999 to 1997.
Four.
Four, okay.
Yeah, and sort of trying to figure out where, because I order everything into folders, which is nice. Things like I have PSN, my soundtracks are on there, some demo stuff, free-to-play, PS Plus stuff and all that. And now it's like, as you start those downloads, it adds new icons, so then as I'm trying to just see how big this stuff is, just floods my dashboard with icons. It's like, okay, I gotta put this all in the right folders. And some of these folders are huge. I'm trying to see if I can find a good way to look at these.
It sounds like a task and a half.
Yeah, but it helps me find this stuff a lot easier. But it's like my PS Plus 4 has 70 games in it. My PSN folder, 232 games in it. It's all my purchased PSN games.
See, I separate by genre. That gets them cleared up a little bit better.
I like it my way. Retail, I have 84 games in there.
Oh my god.
Which, a lot of that is stuff I've installed. I installed like all my discs. So, I also just got recently Elite Dangerous. I got that on sale at Gamefly. Because every two times a year I get double up on their rewards coupons. They give you $5 every 3 months, but twice a year they overlap in their expiration dates, expiration and starting date. So I get $10 I can use. And I got that because, I don't know. That game's supposed to be really weird as far as it's kind of like if No Man's Sky were trying to be a ridiculous sim. Space sim kind of thing. And it was the Legendary Edition, which comes with the Season Pass and some of the in-game currency stuff. So it's like, I'm going to just try this thing. It was one of the few things I could actually get that wasn't like, I already got that on sale. I bought that. I own that. And all that. So, yeah, I'm downloading all the games. We'll eventually be done, but hey. And I think that's about it. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, then it's my turn. I got my Switch for Christmas.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I got both copies of Super Mario Odyssey. Well, I got the bundle, so. And I got a copy of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Guess which one has been taking up most of my time?
Mario.
Yes, it has, in fact. because even though Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was one of my most anticipated games of this year, I can barely find the time to play it because I can barely pull myself away from Odyssey long enough to play it.
Yeah.
God damn, that game puts its claws in you and it does not let go.
Yep.
Where are you at, Nat?
I just finished the Festival of New Donk City, so...
Okay.
Yeah. God damn, there is just... There is always something around the corner to do in that game. Because the best part is there's a bunch of stuff that you don't find the first time around, so you end up having to go back and finding stuff you didn't know was there. Like, I didn't know that there were all these hidden sections in the 2D flat Mario parts that you could get into to get extra moons until, like, I was on the Third Kingdom. God, just everything. Being a tank, you know?
Isn't that fun?
Yes, it is. Being a tank, being a Goomba, being a normal sized person with a remote control car trying to get a moon.
Yeah, I was disappointed you don't actually control a human. You just control his car.
Yeah.
Well, all the humans wear hats, so... And you can't knock the hats off, so. But yeah,
this is a messed up city. There's no hooligans or hippies or anything like that just hanging around.
Yeah,
all business people.
I think it's supposed to be like an idealized version of New York from a Japanese perspective.
That's a floating piece of land in the middle of the city.
Yeah, pretty much.
They show like taxis.
I mean, have you been to Tokyo? But oh yeah, and Pauline is smoking hot. Did I mention that?
Right.
And I am surprised I did not realize how tall she actually is. She actually is taller than both Peach and Daisy. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she doesn't live in Mushroom Kingdom where everybody gets shortened.
Yeah. And now that I'm thinking, is Mushroom Kingdom supposed to be like the Japan to New Donk City? Is that why they're all short?
Increased gravity, I don't know.
Well, then that doesn't explain Mario.
I mean, Mario eats mushrooms, he gets taller.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Mushroom Kingdom isn't a place of logic.
Well, I just figured 30 years of non-appearances inoculated her against years of Nintendo creative design decisions.
Yeah.
As long as we stay away from the skinny Mario that's in Super Mario Maker, we'll be okay with that.
Yeah, that game is just a absolute delight to play, and it's really hard to get away from it. But I have gotten away from it a little bit. I started a little bit of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It looks good, so that's about all I can say right now. Other than the fact that the character you play lives on the back of a giant sky dragon, and he's kind of like his grandpa, and it's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
didn't that game, no, it's the Wii U version that went on sale.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah.
Or Cross, as it's apparently supposed to be known as.
Oh, okay.
Which, for the record, is not a bad game. It's actually pretty good. It's just, it's a different kind of Xenoblade experience.
That one's really weird.
Chris, yeah, it's a bit more. It plays a bit more like an MMO than
it's kind of like you get a mech that you can fly around in.
Yeah,
and it's just like it's just a weird thing. But I also pre-ordered that game and have not played it yet.
Yeah,
I have problems with that game.
And outside of the Switch, I've also been playing Divinity Original Sin 2. Yeah, it's good. What did you expect me to say? I mean, it's as good as the last one was. And let me tell you, it's especially good. You can tell it's good because even though my laptop can barely handle it, I still love it.
You're just going to make that thing truck right through it, huh?
Yep.
Suffer.
Yeah, because I can't afford a gaming PC, so...
Yeah, well... Okay.
Does it go nuts when you go overboard with magic?
A little, or have you not yet?
Sort of thing where you just spec into strength and attack and...
Yeah.
Melee.
The character I'm playing, because basically, like, I'm not sure if you had this. I'm pretty sure you had something like this in the original Divinity Original Sins, which was an origin character, which is like a pre-made character with like a pre-made story to it. And the character I've been playing is the Red Prince. And the Red Prince is a tall lizard person who apparently even though he basically woke up on a prison ship, thinks he's somehow entitled to all the things that a prince gets. And, also, he tries to nail basically everything in sight, so it's hilarious. He is the most sarcastic asshole in the game, and he is just so much fun to play. But other than that, really, there's just too many games.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You know, now that I got a Switch, I've got a backlog all of a sudden to work with, and shit, it's overwhelming.
Get any eShop stuff yet?
I still have to hook it up to my Wi-Fi, which is because my room and the Wi-Fi are a little far away from each other. I'm going to have to take it out of its dock and bring it into the living room and let it connect. So
yeah.
Oh, I think you could get the Ethernet adapters they have for the Wii and Wii U. I think it works on that as well.
I do have one of those. Okay, yeah, I can probably do that.
That should work.
I'll give it a shot. I will say the one problem I did have was when I was hooking up the HDMI cables. And apparently it's not like a interchangeable. There is definitely one part of the HDMI cable you have to plug into the system and one part you absolutely have to plug into the TV. Otherwise, the TV gets all flickery. So.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh.
It wasn't a problem to figure out. It was just an annoyance. Yeah. But also, I'm amazed at how few components that actually comes with the Switch. It is literally just, the Switch, the dock, the cords, the Joypad controller, and the two minor attachments you put on the two halves of the Joy controller when you're playing it with motion control. And that's it.
Yeah.
No, like, vision thing you have to put on top of the TV to get it to register. No additional, like, cords or tablets or shit like that. Just, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game system.
Yeah.
It's very compact and it's very simple.
Yes, it is.
Which is good.
Uh-huh. All right, so. Has anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Well then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today we're going to do a small little video game one. Alright? So, quick question. Who here is a fan of Samurai Showdown?
I am.
Me.
Well, you, obviously. And one of the cool things about the Samurai, technically it's Samurai Spirits, but fuck that, it's Samurai Showdown.
That's cool.
Is the fact that in the overall, you know, cast of characters is that you'll have a handful of characters that are either XPs of or are supposed to be like actual historical figures. Like, for example, since the original game, one of the characters you can pick is Hattori Hanzo, who was, in fact, a real historical figure. He was a personal ninja to Tokugawa Ieyasu. There's also characters like Jubei, who is a reference to a... God, I can't remember who he's supposed to be. I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be a reference to Miyamoto Musashi, but... That's Halamaru, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I think he's also actually supposed to be like some sort of Robin Hood figure. But then, like, later on, as the game gets on, the main boss man from the original game was Amakusa, who was based on the leader of the Christian peasant revolt that ultimately led to Catholic Christianity basically being illegal in Japan for about 150 some odd years. Basically in the universe of Samurai Showdown, he gets pissed off at God and becomes a devil worshiper and, well, you know how that goes.
And beats the shit out of you with orbs.
Yeah, with orbs. And then, as the series goes on, it gets a little bit stranger. Like, for example, courtesy of Let's Weekend, you can get such individuals that become characters such as President Andrew Jackson.
Yep.
Okay, that does not it's compute. A thing. It does it's... not compute.
Yeah, so basically in the game... Okay, so in the game, he's just called Andrew. And he is basically... His weapon, of course, is a rifle with a bayonet on it. A musket. Which he calls the White Lily. Basically, he's meant to look like a pretty bishonen white boy with glasses. With white hair. But he is, in fact, supposed to be an XP of Andrew Jackson. How do you know this? Well, his stage is in front of the White House. His music is called Independence Day. And one of his big super move is called Hail to the Chief.
Yeah, kind of obvious.
And also the music for Independence Day has some bits of Hail to the Chief in it.
Wow.
So it's pretty obvious who he's supposed to be. Yeah. Of course, no mention of him, you know, being involved in the displacement and slaughter of American Indians, but...
Can't get too real in a short little cameo like that, huh?
No. But yes, he is 100% a full playable character. He is... I won't lie, he actually is pretty badass in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taking a gun to a sword fight. How else?
As he would do, let's be honest.
Yeah. Because if there's one thing about Andrew Jackson that history shows, is that he was a fearless motherfucker, and he would basically slit your throat at the drop of a hat. So, Andrew Jackson, playable character in Samurai Showdown 6. Now.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for the Alexander Hamilton cameo that'll be coming in at some point.
Well, they want to revisit okay. Get the on series.
Yeah, well. And that has been a short section of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right.
So now you know that. Out a few weeks ago, yes?
Yes, I did. And I thought it was just the goddamnedest thing. Like, I know that, like I said, I know that, you know, XPs of historical figures are a thing in the Samurai Showdown series. I just didn't know it reached that far around the world. But, alright, so, are we ready for the show proper? So, time for our Asshole of the Week, as we must. And, who is our Asshole of the Week? It is... United States UN Ambassador Nikki Haley throwing friendship parties for supporters.
Yeah, now, so this is in relation to the whole thing where U.S. Recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yeah.
UN had a big thing.
Specifically West Jerusalem. And, so,
which caused people to die and riots and all that sort of stuff. And so the UN was taking up votes to condemn the U.S. decision.
And, of course, Nikki Haley went up and she was all blustery and Donald Trump was doing his whole bully thing where he's like, you know, he's trying to puff up his chest and basically intimidate the UN in submission. Guess how well that went?
Let's see. After the vote, Haley tweeted out, shout out to the real die, real friends at the U.S., the eight who voted against the resolution, 35 who abstained, and everyone else who just kind of wandered off instead of voting.
Yeah.
So.
Let's be honest. At that point, wouldn't you be just like, fuck this, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, they probably wanted to go home and scoop their cat litter or clean up the poop from the dog in the backyard more than they want to do that shit.
Yeah.
And so, in response, Nikki Haley sent out this Save the Date flyer to the various countries that didn't vote to condemn them, saying, let's see, the Honorable Nikki Haley, Permanent Representative of the United States Mission to the United Nations, invites you to a reception to thank you for your friendship to the United States, Wednesday, January 3rd. So they're having a friendship party for the people that didn't vote to condemn them.
For the record, those who are wondering, the groups that didn't sign on was Honduras and a bunch of Pacific Island nations that kind of have to go along with whatever the U.S. does. Otherwise,
Shit.
Basically going all mean girls on this.
Yeah, basically she went up and she's like, the United States will remember this. And they're like, bitch, where?
Mm-hmm.
I think Canada said they're going to go. But yeah, I guess the United Kingdom and Japan are definitely not going.
Yeah.
Because they voted against it. So.
Our two of our strongest allies, by the way.
Said, hey, that was a shitty thing to do.
Mhm. Ah, nice work.
Making friends in the international community every day.
God, this administration cannot go away faster.
Yeah, it's treating the actual UN like it's your high school UN thing.
Yeah,
basically.
So yeah, that was our asshole of the week. The sort of balm to that is the fact that said assholes of the week got their asses pretty well handed to them. So. Basically everybody called their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like, we know you're not, it's like, do you really think we're this stupid?
Mm.
For the record, yeah, they really do think they're that stupid.
Yeah.
That's how they've managed to succeed in America for so long.
I mean, you got the guy that said, it's freezing cold in New York. What the fuck is global warming going to do with
this? We need more global warming on the West Coast. That's what Trump tweeted today.
You know, that's worse than everybody's stupid fucking uncle who just... You guys all have one of those, right?
I have about half of my family tree is that person.
They get there and they, you know, after they're done stuffing their pie hole at Thanksgiving, you just cringe at what's coming out of their mouth.
Yeah, it's like a Thanksgiving Christmas ritual. Like after the hors d'oeuvres and the eating of the turkey comes the diarrhea of the mouth.
That's exactly what it is too.
But eventually you just sort of learn to tune it out or go take a nap in the next room.
Yep.
Unless they've been drinking, in which case everybody in the house gets to hear it.
And, you know, Trump is that with a fucking megaphone.
Yep.
A Twitter megaphone.
Mm-hmm. But Now to move on to our hero of the week. And our hero of the week happens to be the editor for what was supposed to be Milo Yiannopoulos' book from Simon & Schuster. We got the editor's notes out in public today. They are amazing.
Yeah,
you've got to read them.
I put a link to the Twitter thread for this. A woman named Sarah May went onto the New York County Clerk's website and found the filing that Simon & Schuster just put up that included all of the editor's notes submitted alongside the manuscript. And the editor's notes are way better than anything. You don't even need to read the book.
Yeah. For the record, through those editor's notes, I think – I'm not sure. But apparently somewhere in those editor's notes you can actually get – you can basically read all of Milo's manuscript. So
yeah, and
there's really no reason to actually buy it.
Yeah. And it's a lot of great stuff here. Just probably read through some of this. There's like – one just says citation needed. Delete irrelevant and superfluous ethnic joke. No, this does not show this at all. Gratuitous. I will not accept a manuscript that labels an entire class of people as mentally ill. Not a sentence. Let's leave cuck out of it here.
Oh my
this whole
God.
Paragraph is all
and there goes 30 pages right there.
These abrupt changes in tone in this particular chapter do not lighten your message with humor. They simply diminish your authority. Oh, here's a great one. One of the best comments. This is not the time or place for another black dick joke.
By the way, I just want to point out the editor for this was – it works specifically for a part of Simon & Schuster that specializes in publishing books by conservative figures.
Mm-hmm.
The person who is the editor here is in fact a conservative Republican that has worked on books by George W. Bush and, yes, Donald Trump. So
Trump, Glenn Beck, a couple of those guys. So he would very much be up for these sorts of points. He makes like actual constructive comments, but you can tell just from reading this stuff that there's a point where he just is tired of this bullshit that Milo's trying to put forth.
sorry.
Like even he can see through all of it.
Yeah.
All this pop psychology is hogwash. You can't say ugly people are drawn to the left. Have you ever seen the people at a Trump rally? delete entire chapter. The book is better overall without hitting these ugly people notes in the other chapters, and better overall by deleting this one.
And then the whole tweet where
here's
she
some great
this.
Couple of this would never happen. This is not true. This is not true either. Teresa is one of our copy editors, so she very much feels what this guy's going through. Cause
I'm loving this shit.
Fortunately, you haven't had to read any of our shit that's this bad.
No.
Yeah.
But that's one of the nice things about being on a site that's not full of shitheads like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's some more, like, let's leave fecal waste analogies out of this chapter.
Again, there goes another 30 pages.
Yeah, the use of a phrase like two-faced backstabbing bitches diminishes your overall point. Oh, here's some great ones. These are in all caps, so you can just highlight the frustration that he has.
Mm-hmm.
No, period. It, period. Has, period. Not, period. No, exclamation point. Delete.
With the ugh. That's correct.
These gratuitous epithets destroy the intelligence of this final paragraph. Delete. This entire paragraph is just repeating fake news. There was no blood, no semen, and there was no Satanism. Delete.
Oh, yeah, that's the reference to the quote-unquote spirit cooking.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for those of you don't know, it was like a performance art thing that was put on for John Podesta, and apparently some people think it's linked into the whole Pizzagate shit. So
it's almost better not knowing that stuff, because the great thing is people have taken these screenshots of these comments and are just using that as memes itself.
Yeah.
It's just like ways of replying to people. There's some good stuff here. This entire section is the most poorly thought out section in the book. If you want to make a case for gay men going back into the closet marrying women just to have children, you're going to have to employ a lot more intellectual rigor than you use here. Then right below it, this just doesn't make any sense here. and that does not necessarily follow.
You know, I see one that I'm going to save to my desktop and my phone, and every time I get a text or a Facebook thing or whatever, there's not going to be a lot of them now because Grandma's dead, but there are other people who definitely will fill that gap.
And you're just saving time?
Yeah, I'm just going to reply with this. This whole section is filled with assertions that don't have the weight of fact. Understand the difference and back up every claim here because this section will be hotly scrutinized.
Yep. don't use trannies here. It just derails your arguments. And no, that's not the point. Not here.
Lots of caps.
Avoid parenthetical insults. They just diminish your authority. Throughout the book, your best points seem to be lost in a sea of self-aggrandizement and scattershot thinking.
Yeah, no shit.
And something like this.
That's like Milo's whole shtick.
Yeah, yeah. This whole section is about ego. And something like this, only less self-serving. This is definitely not the place for more of your narcissism than to register it immediately. This chapter needs a stronger finish. It was an astonishing success. Don't blow your own horn. That first part was a comment, quote of his thing.
Oh my God.
Gets in the way of the point you're making and is not even funny. There's another part. And then dumb joke. Not worth a week joke. Oh, here's a good one. Beauty regime moved to box at end of chapter after Nietzsche section.
Nietzsche?
Yeah, it's Friedrich Nietzsche.
Okay. Yeah, hell of a philosopher.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Definitely worth reading. Just remember that, well, first of all, it's a lot of it is very contradictory, and he basically ended his life in an insane asylum.
Yeah,
I just love the whole,
and yes.
the whole idea that he has a section
devoted to Nietzsche.
And a beauty regimen as well.
Yeah, for some reason, the alt-right is obsessed with Nietzsche, and yet it's pretty obvious when you try to see them talk about Nietzsche that most of them actually have never read Nietzsche.
Well, it's sort of like all the talk about Marxism and all that.
Yeah. Again, I am a Marxist. I've read quite a bit of Marx and Engels and even Lenin and Mao, for that matter. And you can usually tell when they're trying to bullshit their way through something.
Okay, a couple more. Too important a point to end in a crude quip. Off the point, unsupportable charge. Yeah, it's just great there. There's no direct link, I don't think. You have to basically go to the main page for all their PDFs for this stuff and just search for Simon & Schuster as a defendant. And it's the one that was filed on December 21st.
Okay.
I assume somebody has probably saved that as a PDF and put it up on the internet, but I haven't seen a direct link yet to one of those.
Well, hopefully this editor got hazard pay for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically all this is due to Milo suing Simon & Schuster for dropping him. they're required to sort of go the whole way in publishing his book.
Yeah.
And they're basically saying, your book was such a fucking mess that you were not anywhere close to having a thing that we would actually want to publish.
Yeah, they're actually entering this into the trial as evidence.
Yeah, this is part of their whole thing.
They should, countersue for the amount of time and money and resources that they wasted just editing this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and we should not try to make Simon & Schuster out to be innocent in any of this because they were willing to push his stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Until people pushed back and then, you know, they dropped it.
Yeah, I think I would imagine also the child molestation stuff he said also factored into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that also is a big part of it.
And it's great that his book just came out and was a complete dud.
Yeah.
Sold like 50 copies in the UK, in his home country.
Yep.
Wow.
I think it sold like 15,000 here.
Can we officially just sort of wash our hands and say that Milo is through?
We wish we could.
I wish I could too, because part of me thinks that he's going to find some way to crawl his way back into the limelight. And considering how utterly amoral he is, it's probably going to be something probably even uglier than this. Because that's just the type of shit he is. But
yeah. I just love the notion that he is not on Twitter. That's the whole best part.
Yeah. Because even they were like, fuck this guy.
People that link to his account, Nero, and then I click on it, it's like, oh, is he back? It's like, nope, his account has been suspended. It's like, oh, good. There's still some good stuff in this world.
Yeah. Anyway, so, all right, so now it is time for the proper show proper. And our first story of the night, well, this is from, Pat's neck of the woods. The Salt Lake Tribune, basically named, Orrin Hatch as their Utahn of the Year. And by doing that, they also have demanded that he step down.
That was the whole point of the piece, is that he, they basically tried to couch all of this in the article by saying, just because you're named Utahn of the Year doesn't mean you're actually doing good things.
Yeah.
It just means you're like the most noteworthy or important person of the year.
Notorious person of the year?
Yeah. Could be for good or ill for the things you've done. And so Orrin Hatch on Twitter basically touted this honor, said he was grateful to be picked for this, that he was actually nominated himself Rudy Gobert, who's the center for the Utah Jazz. You know, at no point having read anything that was in this.
Yeah.
As people pointed out, that they're basically calling for your job. Why are you saying?
And he should have suspected as much when it was the Salt Lake Tribune, too.
Yeah. They cited three main points for why he should, why he's recognized for this honor. His part in the dramatic dismantling of the Bears' ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. His role as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee in passing a major overhaul of the nation's tax code. And his utter lack of integrity that rises from his unquenchable thirst for power.
Yeah.
Well, sounds about right.
Yeah. He, by the way, is the longest-serving Republican senator in American history,
he's the most corrupt person.
Yeah. By the way, he apparently wasn't supposed to be – running again next year. But then he turned his back on that and said, nope, I'm running again next year.
And I think they're going to have Mitt Romney primary him.
Yeah. And that'll be especially good because if there's one person that Donald Trump hates with an absolute passion and who Mitt Romney hates him in turn. So, that will be a lot of fun if they manage to pull that off. And considering that, you know, Romney is – on top of being, a Mormon, isn't Mitt Romney from Utah as well?
I believe so.
Yeah. So he actually does have home field advantage. But yeah, that'll be just marvelous to watch. Yeah.
Get the popcorn.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of getting the popcorn, guess who still has refused to concede his Alabama loss?
Dickweed.
He's still at it.
By the way, just for those who are curious, this week Alabama actually certified that yes, Doug Jones won in his Senate elect.
Yeah.
So
everybody else has moved on.
Which I saw something interesting about this whole thing. So he ran for some office in 2006 and 2010. I don't remember which positions he was going for, but he still hasn't conceded those elections either.
Nope.
So, if you're expecting him to do this anytime soon,
no,
nope, not going to happen.
You should just move on.
He's just
apparently losing is not in his vocabulary.
No, he describes
no, losing is conceding isn't.
Yeah. And the worst part, and the thing is, obviously by now it's pretty obvious that pretty much the entire GOP was ready to drop him like a bad habit, and that is exactly what they did. the only way he has now going forward, literally, I mean the last single solitary chance he has going forward is getting the money up to do a recount. And he can't even do that.
No.
because people just want to move on and forget about this prick.
Yep. That's a very sad footnote in their state history.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is he's using conspiracies to push all this stuff, which...
Yeah, it was go ahead.
Includes three election experts. The mm-hmm. NPR article here does a good job of just refuting all of them, but...
Yeah.
One of the election experts, his site features JFK conspiracies, as well as other election fraud conspiracies, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got the most trustworthy people. Oof. You know, this his name is Richard Charnin.
Yeah.
And claims that Trump won the popular vote in the 2016 election. I think he might have been the guy that started that whole 3 million illegal votes thing.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but that is very much the majority of what his sort of evidence in all this is just conspiracy bullshit.
Oh, yeah, one of the other experts, quote-unquote, thinks the Jews did 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, the claims here they got on this article, the reported results were contrary to most of the impartial independent polls conducted prior to the special election, in contrast to exit polls, which, as they say here, they were all over the place anyway.
Yep.
There was no consensus in any way. Mm. It's like statistical analysis by election fraud experts. Clearly indicate election fraud. It's like, no, these people are nut jobs.
Basically.
Yeah. Claim number three, defendants should delay any certification until a meaningful investigation into the above alleged instances of voter fraud has been completed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, that didn't happen. They also cited comments on Breitbart. I think it was.
Oh, Breitbart, a great source for your news.
Proof of things where there are comments saying, like, oh, the leftists are afraid of getting lead poisoning. America needs more lead. The leftists may soon find out how much lead there is in red state America. You know?
Wait, what? Lead?
Yeah, lead.
As in bullets.
Yeah, as in bullets.
Oh.
Because, again, Breitbart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, I don't know if you've actually checked Breitbart lately. Yeah, that whole site is going down the tubes fast.
Yeah, I like to not damage my brain.
I know. I go there every so often just because I love salty ass comments on Breitbart, and it's. It's gotten much, much worse.
Yeah. I use filters called Twitter.
Yeah.
Other people do that stuff and then tell me the shitty things they're saying.
Yeah.
That, John Oliver.
Hmm.
Like, you guys go through and just kill yourselves with this. I will take the filtered out results.
Mm-hmm.
So he is basically grasping at any straw he can.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody's like, you lost, give up, move on.
Yep, pretty much.
Try and find a state where you're allowed to be in the mall.
Yeah.
I hear Mississippi is hiring. But anyway, so next up in stories that are going to piss you off, John Kasich, who is governor for – what state is he governor
Ohio.
For? Ohio, the great state of Ohio, recently signed a bill into law.
You want some great news?
What's that?
So no matter – whatever happens with him, he is out of office after next year.
Yeah. So,
somebody.
Yeah.
It's a two-term election here for governor.
Yep. He has signed a bill into law preventing abortions for fetuses with Down syndrome.
Yeah, which is not pro-life legislation. It's anti-woman mother legislation.
Pro-birth.
Yeah. Well, all pro-life, quote-unquote, legislation is anti-woman legislation. Yeah. But this one is especially so.
Because any sort of prenatal tests that reveal, you know, Down syndrome or other potential issues, those are going to be very expensive children to raise. And if you're not in a sort of situation to raise that stuff, there's, you know, legit reasons to have abortions on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And this guy clearly has never been through that drama.
Governor Kasich is notorious for this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because of the shit show that the GOP primary was in 2016, he came off as the quote-unquote moderate, but he's really not. No, he's bad as the rest of them. It's just that he actually has tact.
Yeah, so, and most of the time. He's not a raving lunatic like Trump. So everybody else.
To be fair, in today's America, that makes him a moderate.
Yeah, unfortunately. So he's signed this into law, which is just bullshit. It's the third state that in this country that has signed that sort of law. You know what the other two are?
What are they?
One is our neighbor, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Fuckers.
Mike Pence, you know.
Yeah.
And the other is going to probably come out of left field, North Dakota.
I believe it.
Yeah,
North Dakota. We don't even have a Mount Rushmore. We're the shitty Dakota.
Was that the one that Obama was the last state that Obama visited?
Probably.
Or never visited? I don't know. I remember John Oliver making a joke about having some sort of like commercial, like, "Hey, we've got the Corn Festival," and I forget what other ones, and they just kept going back to the Corn Festival. Over and over again. Hey, we've got all this great stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Like the Corn Festival.
Yeah. By the way, quick aside, if you're planning to ever go to Mount Rushmore, don't. It's pretty underwhelming.
I imagine it's, you go there, you look at it, it's like, yep, they did that.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And they never cleaned that shit up either, because it's basically like a giant quarry field around there. And
yeah, they're just like, "Oh, we did this. Cool.
Yeah.
No more.
We're just going to leave everything."
Yeah. But anyway. All right. So next up, as everybody knows, there's been, of course, a rash of mass shootings over the last few months. Well, several months. You know what? A couple of years. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. Decade.
Last decade.
Yeah.
20 years.
And part of that is because of some very massive failures on part of the National Gun Background Database that have often allowed people to get these people who have no business owning a firearm, owning firearms. And so, the cities of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, San Francisco, California, and New York, New York are actually suing the U.S. DOD over failures in the National Gun Background Database.
Yeah, basically not keeping it up as well as they should, especially I think a lot of this is related to former members of the military who either were discharged or have other issues that should prohibit them from getting guns legally, at least major guns like the ones that were used in the shooting down in Texas. Among others, and they basically want the Department of Defense held accountable for keeping this thing actually up to date, so that when people, you know, do the background checks, this stuff actually shows up. And I think one of the other problems we have is it the ATF. Their whole gun record system is all paper.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to digitize any of that.
Yeah, and guess why? Yeah, and there's a reason why. Because of the NRA and their various shills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they get a lot of their stuff is like, "Oh, this gun store shut down. Here's our, you know, records, all that stuff." And they have to go and, you know, they'll photocopy stuff.
Yeah.
But they have, like, stuff from Katrina.
Yeah.
All these sorts of places, that burned down.
Yeah.
Sort of all these different types of papers, and they're trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, and they can't because a lot of those said papers from Katrina and from burned down buildings are either, you know, burned or so wet or washed out that they're impossible to read.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching the NRA episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah.
It covers that part especially pretty well. The weird thing is the NRA is a really powerful lobbying group.
Mm-hmm.
And they have less members than, what is it, Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
God.
That's sort of how weirdly powerful they are. It's like 5 or 6 million.
Yeah, and not only are they weirdly powerful, but they don't even fucking listen to their membership.
No.
Because a lot of these common sense, gun control measures that the NRA regularly tries to poo-poo, yeah, about the majority of NRA members actually support them, support implementing them. But, that doesn't get you the nice checks from the arms manufacturers.
But they have a really easy way to mobilize their people. It's because their issue is just no on anything.
Yeah.
It's not like everybody else is like, well, this topic is okay, but we really have some issues with this and all this. And it's like, they're just no. No to any gun control, no to anything. And it's really easy to say, hey, there's going to be this thing happening, in this building, in this room. Make sure you're there. And make sure you let them know that we say no.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, so. Next up. It finally fucking happened, people. Somebody got swatted by a dude who lost a Call of Duty game. And he got killed. Happened in Kansas. Kansas police kill a Call of Duty player after being swatted by losers of Money Match.
Yeah, so this happened. It seems like they think it's two players that were competing in a $1.50 Money Match in Call of Duty. I assume the latest one. And essentially, after the conclusion of the match, the two players on the losing team began arguing. The first player apparently sent an address to the second player, essentially egging them on. Second player apparently sent that address to a third party known for swatting. And it appears that address didn't belong to either player. It belonged to an unrelated man.
Yeah. So and that person is dead.
Yep.
And so, let's see. The Wichita Police Department is the one that's involved with this. Their deputy police chief had a press conference today talking about this. Said the caller had reported a hostage situation in the call, which was partially played at the conference. The caller said his father had been shot in the head, was not breathing, and that he had his family at gunpoint. He also claimed to have doused the house with gasoline. I might just light the house on fire, burn the whole thing down, the caller told the dispatcher. When the police arrived on the scene, a man answered the door and was shot and killed by an officer.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The male was given verbal instructions and complied, said Livingston during the press conference. But according to the department's statement, he reached towards his waistband, leading an officer to fire. The man was later confirmed to have been unarmed.
So many layers of way the fuck to go.
Yeah. So first of all, those two fucks need to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go and pound me in the press in the ass prison for 15 years at the least.
Yeah, I think that could be considered manslaughter.
Yeah,
and the cop needs to have his badge taken away and put on trial because he shot and killed an innocent man.
And as well as the people that called in the incident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not who gets the most blame, it's they all share blame.
Yeah, they all share blame, and they all deserve 15 years and pound me in the ass prison.
Yeah.
Like there should have been training to deal with somebody like this in a non-shooting type manner.
I'm sorry, do they not have tasers anymore?
Well, wait a second. What state is this again?
Kansas.
Yeah, who was governor until Kansas?
And this is also setting out the SWAT unit.
Yeah.
They're not,
so,
they're
who was
not
governor of Kansas until fairly recently?
Sam Brownback.
Need to say more.
Yeah. And this is also, like, a lot of this stuff deals with sending these threats and whatnot to small town police departments.
Yeah.
Don't normally get this stuff and, you know, don't necessarily don't know how to handle it. Especially in the case of a potential fake, because what do they fucking know about the internet?
Yeah.
That somebody could actually come up with this sort of idea to fake this sort of thing.
Hmm. Who the hell money matches for $1.50 anyway?
I mean, it's like nickel slots.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You start low.
Yeah. Well. All right. So, moving on from there. The founder of Lizard Squad is now looking at 2 years in federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison for harassment schemes.
Yeah, so this isn't necessarily about, like, the taking down PSN and Xbox Live and all that a few years ago. This is particularly relating to sort of services centered around harassing people online with, like, phone bombs and other stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is a guy named Zachary Buchta, B-U-C-H-T-A.
Yeah, where is he from?
It doesn't say.
All right, what state is this in?
I don't... He was charged in Chicago.
All right.
Because one of Lizard Squad's harassment victims was from that area.
Ah, okay.
But he lives in Maryland, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so he entered in a plea agreement for this, guilty. And I guess Lizard Squad was also, he was also part of the group called Poodle Corp.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. He set up a photobomber.net site that would, for $20, flood a phone number with recorded messages. Pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit damage to protected computers. Charge carries a potential sentence of 10 years in prison. However, if he's going to work with federal investigators, whom he once called losers in an online screen name, prosecutors will recommend he do only 2.5 years in a federal penitentiary.
Good. Not thrilled that he's getting a plea bargain, but what the hell?
Hopefully they take down more of these Lizard Squad people.
Yeah.
There's a, well, I mean, the plea bargain still involves sodomy, so...
Yeah.
There's a very special kind of asshole that belongs to a group like Lizard Squad.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Antisocial, thinks they're better than everybody.
Yeah. Also known as the outright.
Hmm.
But, yeah. So, moving on from there. Gallup... once again, had their poll for what who people thought were the most admired man and woman in America. And once again, it was Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah, so Hillary has won this for 16 consecutive years.
Yeah.
22 total.
Yeah.
And just so people are clear, these numbers that they're getting are less than a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's among a list of people. I saw a list somewhere. I don't think it's on this particular page, but yeah, Obama was voted most admired by 17% of respondents.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was 14.
Hmm.
Party but Trump's lines. Only been on there for 3 years. But yeah, this and. Obama is the first former president to win the year after he left office since, I think, Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
Or Jimmy Carter lost his first year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Obama's won it for 10 years. Two more ties him with... Dwight Eisenhower.
Wow.
Who has the record.
Good.
Hillary already has, I think, both records.
Mm-hmm.
The streak and overall. But she's been on top 22 times. And she won with 9%. Michelle Obama was 7%. Third place was Oprah Winfrey. Winfrey, 4%.
Hmm.
So, like, the Pope, I think, was third on the mail list. So, yeah, it's not even just Americans. It's just the most admired person.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, obviously, Trump is the first incumbent president to not win it since Jimmy Carter. So
yeah, that's because nobody admires him.
Yeah.
Except for stupid people.
Well, yes.
Oh,
that is right.
No, I shouldn't say stupid people. I know some very intelligent people who voted for Trump because, well, it was the lesser of two evils at the time.
So they thought.
Mm-hmm. That definitely didn't come back to bite him in the ass, didn't it?
Nope.
Not a bit.
Nope. All right, now for probably my favorite story of the week. A man actually went over to the house of Steve Mnuchin, current Treasury Secretary, over at his home in Bel Air. Yes, it's a real place. And he dropped off a nice little package.
Very
thoughtful. A little card to Steve Mnuchin. What was in the box? Or shit.
Fresh squeezed?
And I'm pretty sure if it was fresh squeezed, it would have burned through the cardboard, but...
Let's just set up greasy. For a little while.
Yeah, so... this all came from a guy named Robbie Strong.
Yep.
Who documented this stuff on his Facebook account, I believe. It's all bullshit. Or horse... He says both things. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he had a friend who owns a ranch, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he provided all this for him.
Maybe he isn't sure what it is. He just found it there.
Basically, fill up a big box with it, put some nice Christmas wrapping around it, dropped it off the house, which immediately had them bring in bomb squads.
Because, of course.
And it took them a while to figure out, no, this is just shit. but yeah,
Did they try disturbing the package?
Yeah.
I don't know all about what they did, but...
That would have been great.
Yeah. He wrote some stuff on his Facebook. I need someone to ride along and document my Secret Santa project. I'm going to hand deliver boxes of horse shit to Steve Mnuchin over in Beverly Hills. Because if money is free speech, so is horse shit. PM me. We'll go down in the annals of history. I can't say that any other way, so no disguises, no fake names, totally owning this one. You're only powerless if you do nothing. So I think he is citing a whole thing where they determined that corporations were technically people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Citizens United.
Yep. Yeah. And that money was also free speech, form of free speech. And so this is like him rebelling against that as well. It's just sending like shit to this guy. Let's see. He also included a card, said to Stevie on the envelope. Mrs. Mnuchin and Trump, we're returning the quote-unquote gift of the Christmas tax bill. It's bullshit. warmest wishes, the American people. See, he said he voted for Senator Bernie Sanders in the 2016 Democratic primary and only grudgingly voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Much like I did.
Yes, he did. Yeah. That was the important part.
Yeah. He will not face charges. Obviously, the authorities, once they figured out who was Senate, interviewed them, all that. He told them he delivered a package, said opposing the tax cut was in the best interest after all.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I did this for you, as he told the police. The administration's coming after your government pension. Do you think you're going to be able to retire? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I endorse it.
Yeah.
And I encourage it. Go out and do it to your local hated public figure today.
Yeah. Yes. No, the reason I asked if they disturbed the package before opening it, does anyone else here know how bomb squads handle packages or potential bombs that they don't know what they are?
Yeah.
IT crowd.
They snipe it with a water cannon.
Yep.
Think about that for a minute.
Oh, no, I don't want to because my nose already smells.
A very high-pressure water cannon.
Oh, that could have gone far,
so
far
he could
worse.
Have just had diluted, smeared shit all over his front porch.
And it would have literally gone far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to send in the bomb robot.
Well, it could have blown it up and then
it's running
shit
Windows
everywhere.
95.
Wow, let's set fire to it.
Yeah.
Had the expensive version of the poop in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Mnuchin's lucky he didn't set it on fire first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, oh, this next one's out from Toronto in Phil's neck of the woods in Canada. A refrigerated trailer that was filled with $30,000 worth of veal was stolen on Christmas Day.
Yeah, so they took the trailer off the truck.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. They don't know where it's been or went to. It just disappeared.
Somebody just wanted a lot of veal parm?
Was this maybe a mistaken drop and hook where it was just sitting and the trucker came in thinking, well, the load's ready, it's time for me to go? And because that does happen. People they take the wrong trailer all the fucking time.
No, this was still hooked.
Somebody would have, you know, reported it if they had accidentally.
Yeah, it was still hooked to the truck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why the hell is that still that much veal?
That's why I think somebody really likes veal parm or something.
I would check some of the restaurants over in Montreal just to be sure.
Yeah, so basically this is their last ditch effort of getting this thing back because they don't have any idea who took it.
Yeah,
I assume no video footage or anything near wherever this thing was parked. They don't have any clues, so they're sending out the press release to hopefully get some incriminating info from somebody.
Hmm. Yeah.
My guess is it's going to end up being a mistake. And about the time the reefer starts running out of diesel and they refilled it two or three times, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this load anyway? And they're going to find it somewhere halfway across Canada. Oh, God.
No.
There's a movie in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, to be fair, like, loads like that actually do get stolen. And then, doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Yeah.
You know.
It doesn't happen often in Canada.
No, it doesn't happen often, period. But, yeah, because, if you know what you're taking, and you know that you have a clientele that's going to buy it.
Yeah.
You can fence it pretty easily and make yourself a good, good bit of change over the holidays.
Yeah, though I'd imagine most sort of warehouses and such would have lots of cameras outside their premises and their buildings just to catch these sort of people.
Yeah.
So it seems like it would have to be some off-site thing that it was parked at.
Yeah.
Well,
this was hooked to the trailer, so that means the driver was not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
Probably just off somewhere getting a shit.
Well, it was Christmas Day, so he was either...
Well, this was, the way they say, it was taken off the back of the truck in North York between 3 p.m. on Monday and 5 a.m.
Oh, so did they take the whole trailer?
Yeah, they took the whole trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so they just...
Yeah, they took the trailer off the truck.
Yeah, so they wanted it. They wanted it really bad.
And it's an inside job. Somebody had to have gotten a hold of a shipping manifest and knew what was in that particular trailer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the trailer belongs to a company that distributes veal, beef, and lamb.
Yeah.
So all they saw was, oh, this is a White Valley trailer, so it's got meat on it.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you got a 2 in 3 chance of getting a good score, basically.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well... All right, next story also comes from Canada. And there's really no other way I can put this. Somebody just up and left a Pepsi vending machine in the middle of a potato field.
Yeah, so this was in New Brunswick. Some vandals stole this thing. Took all the money and the pop out of it and just left it in a potato field.
As you did.
Yeah. They don't really know where it came from. The vending machine was one of two found abandoned in a field southwest of Grand Falls, New Brunswick on September 29th by workers that were clearing a potato field. They traced one back to a local Walmart, but the serial number on it didn't match the ones that or didn't match reports of any stolen machines. But after their investigation went nowhere, the police issued a press release on Wednesday with a photo of an apparently intact machine lying on its back, asked for the public's help. In this case, we had a couple of vending machines stolen here and there throughout the region, but none of their serial codes was matching the one that we had over here. So I figured the press release would be one last effort to try and find its owner, because nothing was working. So within 4 hours, Pepsi got a hold of them and helped them track down the owner. That same Walmart in Grand Falls.
No way. Said
the file and the Pepsi machine have now been turned over to local police. The machine had been stripped of all contents, money, both no longer work. They must have been there for a little bit because they were damaged by the weather.
They wow.
Managed to steal this whole big thing, get all the important stuff out of it, and then just dump it in the field.
Not the strangest thing I've ever heard happen, but okay, it is pretty strange.
It's really random. When I saw the headline, I'm like, well, did somebody try to hook it up to a bunch of potatoes, you know, like the whole electric generating thing?
Like, that would actually be pretty badass.
A big potato array going
potato
on
potato batteries.
Here.
You know, my thinking was it was somebody who was running machines unlicensed and was just, you know. But apparently this guy was, it was registered. They just didn't realize it. That's kind of dumb. And this is the kind of stuff the RCMP has to deal with.
Yep.
All right. That has to be a weird job.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Next up, we got a couple of stories coming from Apple. First one is Apple next year is planning on releasing the source code for Apple Lisa OS.
Yeah, which is interesting. Not particularly relevant to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there are a handful of people who are still rabid Lisa fans, even though that machine has been obsolete for
Decades.
Yeah. Does that predate the Macintosh or?
Yeah, it predates the Mac.
All right. See, because I don't use Apple. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't use Macintosh. I got a PC, but. But,
predates that shit too, man.
Yeah. So Apple was able to sort of recover the OS and is sort of going over it and making sure it's going to be ready for public release, which is a pretty cool thing to do. They're releasing it next year at some point. It's going to be free and all that. It's interesting because the Lisa, when it was released, 1983, it was $10,000.
Yep.
It was really expensive.
And that was cheap for a computer.
Yeah. With inflation, it would cost about $25,000 today.
Yeah.
But awesome. So now for something less awesome. So apparently Apple got caught throttling iPhone batteries. And so to make up for it, they're offering discounted battery replacements.
Should offer free battery replacements.
You pricks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, their battery replacements are really expensive.
Yes,
it's
they are.
It's goddamn bucks plus tax. So for me, at the nearest Apple store, that's like $89 because the tax rate is bananas there.
Yeah, so they're dropping the price down to $29 for iPhone 6 and later models.
Yeah.
And that's going to last until the end of 2018.
Yeah.
Nothing for the nothing for the 5S. Mm-hmm.
No, but to be fair, you know, I checked to see if the 5S...
Well, the 5S didn't actually have that problem.
It didn't. It was not being throttled whatsoever. The 5S that we had, past tense, somebody dropped in the goddamn toilet. that didn't go well.
Yeah. So they're planning...
Phones don't tend to like the murky depths.
No. It was so murky.
Yeah, so they're planning an update coming out next year, early 2018, that will make this information much more visible to the to people that own these iPhones, so they can better gauge when their batteries are, you know, very much diminished.
Yeah, about fucking time.
Without
having
to download like third-party apps that do it for them.
Yeah, and how about not overclocking the phones out of the factory? Because that would be something that you might want to not do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make your battery last longer.
That'd be And on the other hand, you know, at least the battery's not getting to 0% and shutting down, and then the phone never works again, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Samsung. Oh, damn.
It's also not catching fire, so that's a plus.
Well, that's a good point, but, you know, when it just stops working forever, it's kind of bad when it bricks at 0%.
Yeah.
They're not having a good time with a note. They're going to have to rename that fucker. I'm so so sad about that, really, because, you know, that used to be a solid line.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with the Note 8. That's
yeah, how about we maybe we bring the Note out every 2 years now, because they seem to not be able to get this shit year after year. Maybe they need more time. I mean, really?
Probably. Yeah, stagger them. Do the Galaxy S 1 year and the Note next year. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, next up, we finally have the augmented reality goggles from Magic Leap. They finally revealed them, and they're going to be released next year.
Oh, fuck. Yep.
We haven't seen anything else about them, but... you got, like, basically a computer that you strap to your waist. It's kind of like a little hockey puck. And then it's, you know, wirelessly transmitted to the goggles, which actually is kind of a nice touch.
You know, somehow that little thing strapped to our waist is going to give us all, like, bladder cancer or something.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it, but...
Yeah, you do.
I don't know. It's like, the Magic Leap is weird because they, you know, instead of showing it to, like, Engadget or The Verge or, you know, tech sites that would actually ask hard questions, they show it to Rolling Stone.
Which, that was a very questionable
move. Especially because they have been very quiet on what it was. Mm-hmm. We just got, like, updates, like, every year or two, like, oh, they've got a new round of funding, like, $1 billion. Like, why the fuck are they getting $1 billion?
Yeah.
What are they... What is this thing that they're supposed to be doing that is just getting all this money without putting it out there, at least showing it? Now they got steampunk glasses, essentially.
Yeah.
They look that way. They really do.
They look like these steampunk glasses I got in PUBG.
Need a couple of gears on them, you know, that serve no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah.
I have to ask, though. Is that going to be like the new Rule 34, where if it exists, there's porn of it? How about if it exists, it gives you cancer?
I don't know. What I do know is I was very much reminded of Darknet glasses from Demon.
Mm.
So that's a plus, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
Now the magic question is, how much are these things going to cost?
Too much.
Probably close to $1,000, if I had to guess.
Yes.
That's at least better than HoloLens, which is really only being sold for developers, and it's like $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this supposedly has one thing that the HoloLens doesn't, and you actually have a full field of view.
Yeah.
That's one thing that this has that HoloLens doesn't.
So. Yeah, because that's like a VR style visor, and only shows you like works on like 60% of what you could see, something like that.
Yeah,
it's like it's like having like a widescreen visor, but you're stuck to 4x3 in it.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's like you can see all around you except like the
yeah, they actually
part
look at
is
it.
Like a little screen right in front of you.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, next up. Oh man. Okay. So there's this bird species in the Amazon. It's called the golden crowned manakin. It's a rare species. Can only be found in the Amazon. And for a long time, people, the scientists were trying to figure out where the hell this thing came from. And then they figured it out. Apparently, there's two other species called the opal crowned manakin and the snow-capped manakin. And one day, the opal-crowned manakin looked at the snow-capped manakin and thought, well, fuck it, I ain't getting any younger. And so, after hundreds of thousands of years ago, they decided to, well, fuck, and now we have the golden-crowned manakin.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of cool, because it actually looks nice. I like it.
Yeah.
And I've never seen one in the wild because they only show up in the Amazon, and even then they're still difficult to
yeah.
to spot.
Yeah.
So
well, they look so tiny too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, this species came about because of interspecies breeding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably not the only species that this has happened with. So
it's just one of the first species we able to figure this out for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if Live Leak is anything to go by, it's definitely not the last. All right, next up, we got this is really cool. This is from NASA. So, of course, Cassini. We got the footage from Cassini when Saturn was going around, you know, the moons in Saturn. And so NASA got all that footage together, and they created a Saturn moon ballet.
Mm.
Yeah, this is set to, what is it? Nutcracker Suite.
Oh, yeah.
Of course
it
was.
One of the songs from it.
Yeah. Or yes. A couple songs. It's like, they have like four or five acts in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just set to footage from that, either pictures or sort of small video clips.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really cool thing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Celestial bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Can't really go wrong.
And finally, our last story of the night before we give our closing thoughts on 2017. The ode to the Florida man / woman.
Yeah,
so here's what you need to know. In Florida, arrest records are public knowledge, public information. And that's actually the reason why we get so many of these stories out of Florida. Also because, you know, it's hot and muggy and fuck it, the people are insane.
It's Florida.
There's lots of trucks.
Yes. Yeah.
So amongst other sites, say, of a picture of a man who, I don't know how to describe this haircut.
Like this is a guy spiral. That,
yeah, go ahead.
This guy at the top here?
Yeah.
It's like he let his hair grow out real quick. And then shaved off half his beard.
Yeah.
He's like some weird Two-Face thing.
And then, yeah.
So on one half of his face, he's got head hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sticking up. And on the other half of his face, he has a lot of beard face hair, and it's sticking down, but no head hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found the story here that is related to this. Florida man with half beard arrested again.
Yeah.
The right thing is they just have a list of stories that you don't even need to really look at them for more details. You can just say, yeah, that's weird. Like Florida man in critical condition after trying to kiss a rattlesnake, which struck and bit his tongue, authorities say.
Florida man who marooned himself on Lake Fountain says he took too much MDMA and wanted to be with the swans.
I bet you did.
I mean, this is how we got the one of the greatest games ever, Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the best Twitter accounts, which is Florida Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's Florida man paralyzed after chasing monkey that stole his hat.
Yep, just that's a thing.
A Florida man punched an ATM for giving him too much money. In the arrest report, the man states he was angry that the machine dispensed too much money because he was late for work and did not know what to do.
You pocket that shit
and you walk away.
I'm pretty sure there's a song and the lyrics go, come on, take the money and run.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Florida woman's pet iguana goes from sleeping in her shirt to repeatedly attacking her, even on camera.
I don't want to watch that.
Florida man banned from beach after passing out sugar daddy seeking sugar baby cards. He said it was just a joke gone bad.
Florida man arrested after calling 911 twice to complain about the size of a seafood dinner.
Why would he complain? They make them huge down there.
Not huge enough, apparently.
Florida man shoots 17-foot-long snake right in the head and collects a $375 bounty. Now, actually, that is necessary because Florida has a serious anaconda problem.
Yeah, that and gators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida man who filmed himself eating pancakes in the middle of the road found guilty.
Of eating pancakes in the middle of the road.
I assume being in the middle of the road, obstructing traffic. But I'm not going to click on it to find out.
Authorities. Florida man bites police officer during warrant hearing for battery on law enforcement officers.
Well, I think they just proved the point there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Open and shut case.
Yep.
Florida man 49 is arrested for trying to break into a cop car with the officers inside.
That's
how you can tell
Darwin Award will sit there.
Yeah. Florida woman gets DUI on horse after joyride into town.
You know, it's
That's applicable, I'd say.
That's legit. Somebody on my old street got arrested for driving his kid's little power wheels on the street while he was drunk off his ass.
Well, like an RC car or whatever?
Yeah. And no, like one of those Barbie Jeep shit things.
Oh, yeah, like the miniaturized things.
Yep. Yeah. Got arrested.
All right, so Florida man claiming to be Jesus flashes Lowe's customer.
I hate going to Lowe's.
Yeah. A Florida man accidentally shot himself in the penis when he sat down on a gun in the driver's seat in his car.
That's why you pay attention to where you're sitting.
That's not really just a Florida thing. That's a South thing.
Yeah. Florida
also,
woman. Go ahead.
Never mind. No, I was just going to say, also, if you put a gun on the seat of your car, remember that you've done so.
That's why you put it in the passenger seat.
You dipshit.
Don't put it where you got to sit.
Mm.
Same thing if you got your keys on your seat.
This is why they should give you tests if you want to apply for a gun license.
Where do you put the gun?
Not in the front seat.
You put it in the glove box.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida woman arrested for hitting bouncer with 12-pack of PBR.
She got really puffy eyes.
I assume she got sprayed.
Yeah.
Because she took a total 12-pack at these bouncers. And the bouncers don't...
That fucking hurt.
Yeah. Bouncers don't mess around. That's the one person you don't mess with.
Florida woman throws hot nacho cheese on a 7-Eleven clerk after being denied service.
Sounds like it was justified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida.
Florida man spends 90 days in jail after police mistake drywall for cocaine.
Aw, poor Florida man in this case.
Yeah. Wow, postal worker injured by trap, Florida man set to snare mail-stealing neighbors.
Well, what the fuck? What do you think's going to happen when they deliver the mail? Set a timer on your phone to disable that shit.
Yeah. By the way, Chris, you want to skip down to the next one because it's a repeat. But
That's the actual picture of the drywall that they got confused by.
Yeah,
which looks more like flour.
Yeah.
Than cocaine.
Flour, cocaine.
Florida woman allegedly curses angler, bites fishing line, swims away with lure.
Oh yeah. So apparently, I guess she was like swimming in a pond somewhere, and I guess the dude who was fishing probably accidentally hit her with the fishing lure.
when he was casting. So I'm guessing she told him to go fuck himself, bit the fishing line, and just swam away with the lure.
Yeah, well, yeah,
that'll show him.
First off, that would be a really good shot.
Florida man using phone to draft fantasy football team loses track of toddler.
You know, in his defense, those little shits are fucking fast.
Mm.
Oh, God, he's back.
Yep, yeah, there he is, the half-beard person.
Yeah,
so that's the before and after.
Hmm. Now, I'm thinking, if you look like that, you probably shouldn't be a criminal, because you stand out.
Yeah. Well, if you look like that, you probably shouldn't be a criminal, because you probably have a mental illness.
Or he's homeless.
Yeah, I would guess that.
Why would he only shave half of his beard if he was homeless?
Looks more sympathetic.
Because he was mentally ill. These things tie in, you know.
Yeah, there's correlation.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris is onto something there, too.
All right.
Like, oh, he's got half a beard. I got to give him a dollar here.
Yeah. All right. Florida man wrecks liquor shop, blames hookah-smoking caterpillar.
You got to stay off the Disney Channel, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Ouroboros.
Mm-hmm.
He's drunk, goes crazy, and then wrecks the liquor shop where you get more drunk.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Florida man steals car, gets arrested when he pulls over to watch hashtag solar eclipse 2017.
That's Florida.
Wow. That's dumb.
He's got the welder's mask, too.
He was not driving it like he stole it.
Yeah. Florida woman offered sex for $25 and chicken nuggets.
Wasn't that like a sting or something where they thought they were catching kiddie porn people?
Yeah, I think it was.
No, that was another one. That was Chicken Alfredo.
Oh, yeah. That was the...
That was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Let's see. Florida man says 15-pound bag of frozen pork randomly fell onto his roof.
Yeah.
You know, in Florida, I actually wouldn't be too surprised by that. Yeah. So.
Would I be smelling?
Anyways.
Yeah, next one, Brandon.
A Florida man who accidentally fired his gun while trying to look cool for a selfie got 6 years in prison.
Yes, he should have.
Okay, here's a good one. A Florida man calls 911 just to get a ride to Hooters.
That doesn't really qualify as an emergency.
And you'll get
that's
a ride,
so stupid,
but...
dude. You're in Florida. Go to Fort Lauderdale. That's where Tattletales is. No, wait, that's in Atlanta. That's the Dollhouse. Yeah, go to the Dollhouse. It's in Fort Lauderdale. You're in Florida, stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, next one's pretty good.
Florida man shot at two AT&T trucks because he was upset that they were parked outside of his home.
I don't blame him.
Off my lawn.
Yeah,
why the fuck are you in front of my house?
64 years old, he comes out in shorts down to his knees and socks half up his calf and starts looks like he's blown out their tires.
Yeah. And finally, the ultimate Florida story of 2017. Florida possum breaks into a liquor store, gets drunk on bourbon.
Hey, what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest an opossum?
She had good taste.
Damn.
Man, maybe she was getting sick of all those babies hanging off her back or some shit. She's got to have a little mommy break.
Yeah. All right. And now, finally, to wrap up our show... We're going to give our closing thoughts on 2017, and we're just going to go for the order that we did for what are we up to. So, Phil, closing thoughts on 2017?
So, basically, 2017 was a year of complete and utter bizarreness. Absolutely nothing that happened in this year made any goddamn sense. But beyond that, it wasn't all bad. You know, politics aside, there were still some good things that happened this year. Yeah, the system has shown that it can work. So, yeah, don't give up hope just yet. It's not all bad.
Yeah. Pat?
Yeah, I'm just going to co-sign on what Phil just said. I think it'll be an interesting contrast between the two shows that we currently do. If you listen to the Day Zero update, we're speaking as gamers, and 2017 was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Then you listen to Let's Weekend, and we're describing a dystopian hellscape. And really, that's, you know, the truth is somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Teresa?
Entertainment-wise, it has been a phenomenal year. But for almost everything else, it's probably one of the worst years I have ever endured. I'm glad to see the back of it. And it really did make no sense. It was like the game where the rules are made up and the points don't matter. And the little people don't matter. So, but the little people are starting to say, fuck you assholes, we matter. And there's a whole lot more of us than there are of you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris?
Yeah, I definitely echo that 2018 is going to be the year of the uprising, where the people that felt screwed over and spurned at the 2016 election finally taking things into their own hands and running for office.
Yes.
All over the country. We've seen that with the sort of the special elections and off-year elections that we had.
And there's also this whole run for something movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely getting more women and minorities running for their communities, and we see lots of new things about, oh, here's the first black person to become the mayor of this town, the first sick mayor of New Jersey, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how we get things in a better state where we don't have to worry about the creepy old guys that are harassing women or assaulting women,
mm-hmm.
Is to get them out of here and get people with new perspectives in charge.
Yep.
So that's how you get true representation.
Yep.
So not put it all in the hands of old white men.
Yeah.
You know, people who may have just never really considered engaging before are extremely engaged now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. As for me, Funk Truck get Weed 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the Joe Exotic platform.
Yep.
Okay, for reals here. Again, Funk Truck get Weed 2017. I mean, can't really get that much. Okay. I'm going to be completely serious now. Politically, this year has pretty much mostly sucked. But what it has done is it's finally knocked the American people out of their goddamn stupor. Because for what should have been something that we all woke up and realized a lot sooner, politics isn't something that just happens in a void. It happens to you. And unless you're involved in it and want to do something about it and have the energy and the discipline and the will to do it, it's going to fuck you over.
Yep.
I think it was Ralph Nader who said, if you're not turned on to politics, politics will turn on you.
Yeah, and that's actually that is actually something that Trotsky actually said all the way back in the 1920s.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of not taking for granted that your vote does not matter, even when there's the national election.
Mm-hmm.
You still have your state and local positions that are being filled.
Yeah,
and those matter sometimes even more than the national stuff and your Congress elections and all that.
Yeah,
because that's where things start. It's at the local level.
Yeah. Also, this year, everyone in America took up the time-honored European tradition of punching the hell out of Nazis.
Yes.
And their related ilk. And that the vast majority of Americans are actually completely cool with it.
Yeah.
Because despite the occasional wishy-washy liberal or some ass burnt conservative ass wipe about, you know, so much for the intolerant left. No, most Americans are 100% cool with punching a fucking Nazi because yep. they're fucking Nazis. And because
there's nothing more American to do than that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it took the death of an innocent woman for us all to realize that, you know, Nazis didn't go away.
Yeah.
They were just waiting to come out of the woodwork. And then a handful of ne'er-do-wells and a certain orange Cheeto human being.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a part of our history is waiting till the last moment to realize
yeah.
that we have mm-hmm. things to do, because that's how we had the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah,
we mm-hmm. waited too long to jump into that whole thing.
As Winston Churchill famously said, you can always con an Americans to do the right thing after they've tried just about everything else.
And like 9/11 is a result of us not taking security on planes as seriously as we should have.
Yeah.
And now we have to take our shoes off. And our belts and all that.
Yeah. Nothing.
Just fuck all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It and, stops a couple of people, but it just inconveniences everybody else.
Yeah. yeah. And whatever happens next year, don't ever think that the Nazis are just going to suddenly go away. They are more than likely going to lose a lot of the little influence they already had.
They'll just find other ways to rebrand themselves.
Even even on places like 4chan, they're already disappearing into the shadows again. Because even the people on 4chan have started having enough, have had enough of their shit. Mm. I really do not see Donald Trump going through, managing to finish out his term. Unless something drastic happens. Mm. Also, you need to be on the lookout for shit when people... Well, first of all, if you got kids and they're watching gaming channels, you need to make sure and maybe watch some of that shit with them. Because yes. as we found, some of those gaming douchebags are teaching your kids some stuff that they really shouldn't.
Well, yeah. Once ElsaGate broke, people should have sat up and said, "What?" And been watching everything on YouTube, ears open all the time.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, we didn't learn this lesson with television, but... So if you suddenly hear little Johnny 8-year-old talking about how he likes Hitler, well, you got no one to blame but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially turning off the autoplay stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. It
starts going
yeah.
right into the next video, and you don't know where that next video is going to go.
Yep.
Is it going to stay on that channel, or is it going to find the alright friendly Minecraft crowd?
But if there is one major lesson here, after Charlottesville, that government-funded short film on fascism started making the rounds again on YouTube. The one about, you know, the guy was like from the 1945, and the guy, you know, he's like... Now, friends, I'm just an average American, but I'm an American. You guys have seen this, haven't you?
Yeah.
It was everywhere after Charlottesville. And remember what the ultimate lesson there is. I thought Nazis were just crazy people, but I grossly underestimated them. So, I have been your host with Mr. Brandon Perkins. I would like to wish everyone who has been listening be safe on New Year's. And let's hope that 2018 is much better. Let's all get out there on the streets and raise some hell, people.
Party right.